You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Jesus had barely arrived in the city of Capernaum. Suddenly, he was met by an anxious delegation. They were bringing an urgent message from a military leader. A local Roman centurion's specially favored servant was sick. Death was hovering near. But now, according to the Bible, this Roman military commander, the owner of the sick servant, had heard about the miraculous healing power of Jesus. Surely, he thought, surely, even though local doctors could do no more, surely Jesus might be able to help. And so he sent some special messengers to Jesus with the request. He asked that the Savior come and save his servant's life. In fact, the Bible states, these messengers urged Jesus strongly to grant the centurion's request. They said that this military leader deserved to have this done for him. He loves our nation, they said, and has built us a synagogue and has paid for it out of his own pocket. Jesus listened with compassion. His heart was moved. And so he started the trip to the Roman military leader's home. There the servant lay on his deathbed. But as the Savior approached the house, the centurion was embarrassed. Jesus could not come inside. His house was not worthy, he thought. He was a scorned Gentile and Jesus was a Jew. So the Roman commander sent some of his personal friends to meet Jesus halfway. In this way, he hoped to work out a compromise. They carried a message saying, "Don't trouble yourself, sir. I'm not important enough for you, Jesus, to come into my house. In fact, I didn't think that I was even fit to come to you in person. Just give the order," he pleaded with Jesus. "Please give the order and my servant will recover." Then this Roman leader explained himself. He said, "I am used to working under orders. I have soldiers under me. I can say to one, go, and he goes. Or I can say to another, come here, and he comes. Or I can say to my slave, do this job, and he does it." By explaining this military officer was showing Jesus that he understood authority and what it was to be in command. Now, even though he was unable with his limited human ability to cure his sick servant, the Roman military leader knew by faith that Jesus could. Jesus, in the eyes of the Roman soldier, had power and he had authority. He recognized Jesus as God's divine Son. This centurion would have quickly agreed with the writer of the book of Hebrews, who, describing Jesus, confessed, "Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his nature. Jesus," the Bible says, "upholds all things by the word of his power." The Bible continues by saying, "Jesus made purification of sins and now sits in heaven on the right hand of the majesty on high." The Roman centurion's confession and faith surprised Jesus. The Bible states it absolutely amazed him. Jesus then turned to the crowd following behind him and said, "I have never found faith like this anywhere, even in Israel." Then those who had been sent by the centurion returned to the house and they found, guess what they found? They found the slave who had been previously sick perfectly well. He was healed. Jesus had healed him from a distance. He used his divine power and his divine authority. Now, we can hardly imagine the state of the stunned onlookers. They saw the miraculously healed servant, and this miracle had occurred even though Jesus had never gone to the bedside. He had stopped halfway. Yes, the crowd may indeed have been flabbergasted, but the centurion all along knew by faith what Jesus could do. And even today, our Savior need not be visibly present among us. Yet, because Jesus is God in every sense, he has power over all things. The Bible states clearly, through Jesus the whole world was created, and now through faith Jesus and his power can live within us and all followers of the Savior. Therefore, with his authority, we are then enabled to cope with our daily problems. Frustrations are overcome. With Jesus' victory over the grave, you and I need never again fear death. He is our victor. Jesus is our hope. Jesus is our foundation. He is our life. He has power. He has authority. And He is willing, listen to this, Jesus is willing for your sake and mine to use this authority. Let the Bible teaching give you hope at this hour. There is hope for you. There is a reason to live for you. There is a way out of your mess and the misery you are suffering in this hour. Oh, Jesus is the author of your help and your hope. Now you see, the people who watched the healing of the Roman centurion's servant must have exclaimed, "Amazing! Absolutely amazing!" They were so taken by the miracle that they missed the main part of the event. But before we throw stones also, let us make sure that we too do not miss the key Bible teaching. You see, after the faith-filled military leader expressed his testimony, and after he said he knew Jesus could do all things because of his authority, then the Bible points out Jesus was amazed. Yes, I didn't misspeak. This is precisely what the Bible teaches. Jesus was amazed. He turned to the crowd following him and said, "I have never found faith like this, even in all of Israel." The Roman centurion's life is a shining example for all of us. His faith was pleasing to God. God answered his urgent prayers. Our faith, also God's gift to us, our prayers and our regular worship are also, in Christ's redeeming blood, pleasing to God. For this God promises to bless you and me. Now again, in order to receive the full impact of this crucial Bible story, let's try to more fully grasp the person and position of the Roman centurion. Reliable historians call centurions the backbone of the Roman army. They understood power and they recognized authority. They obeyed orders from those above, and the centurions expected unquestioned obedience from the usual 100 men below them. When promoted, a centurion was usually transferred to another legion to prevent him from becoming too friendly with his men. It was all very much business. Personal feelings were not allowed to enter in. Roman soldiers were indeed good soldiers. They were efficient. But they could also be ruthless to the opposition. In order to encourage the impersonal life, all regular grade Roman soldiers under the rank of centurion were not permitted to marry. Centurions, however, had the privilege of taking a wife. And centurions were paid about 15 times as much as a regular foot soldier. So even though the Bible narrative offers very little detail, we can see from historical records that this centurion, the one who appealed to Jesus for help, was of rank and of power. And yet, in spite of this rigorous training, the shell of the militarily hardened heart had been pierced. It had been softened by seeing the miraculous works and hearing the powerful words of the blessed Savior. The story makes sense, doesn't it? The commander is impressed by Jesus. Who wouldn't be with all that power? But you see, the key teaching of this Bible story, the part of this Bible account, which offers you and me so much hope, does not make very much sense to us. Because, you see, the commander surprises Jesus. This is what is so unusual. Usually, people may be surprised by Jesus, but not Jesus being surprised by men. You see, Jesus was born of a Jewish family. In fact, he was of the family of King David. In stark contrast, the centurion was of no royal blood. He was only a despised and scorned Gentile. These two groups, the Jews and the Gentiles, mixed about as well as oil and water. They didn't. And according to Jewish law, the homes of Gentiles were not only considered defiled, but all those Jews who entered these dwellings were also defiling themselves. With this gut-wrenching and mind-confusing dilemma in mind, would someone please explain what was this scorned Gentile Roman commander going to do? His servant was dying. He couldn't help. He knew Jesus could help. He saw from previous examples that Jesus accepts and helps all men, women, and children, regardless of race or group. This is important for us today. Jesus Christ died to save all men, regardless of race or color or background. With fear and trepidation, the Roman centurion made his plea. Jesus responded. He began to journey to the sick bed. And now, of course, the story looks like it's all going to wrap up beautifully. Jesus will heal and everybody will be happy ever after. But not yet. The drama experiences another sudden reversal. The military leader becomes upset and anxious. He could not imagine, he could never imagine, this Jewish miracle worker whom he loved so dearly, this popular religious leader coming into his own home under his own roof. So the Bible states that this commander sent a second delegation to be sent to meet Jesus on the road. This time it was some close friends. They carried a special message from the centurion saying, "Don't trouble yourself, Jesus. I'm not important enough for you to come into my house. I didn't think it was fit for me to come to you in person to begin with. Just give the order," he said. "Just give the order, please, and my servant will recover." Oh, what faith that centurion had. Jesus gave the order. The servant was healed. Again, the Savior was shown as God's hope for the whole world. No wonder the Bible tells you and me to draw near with confidence, to draw near with confidence to God's almighty throne of grace, so that we also might receive mercy and find grace at our time of need. Ladies and gentlemen and friends, those of you who are listening today, we receive letters from listeners all over the country and all over the world. These letters reveal to us that there are many, many people in our present society who feel like the Roman military leader. They want help. They need help. They've heard about this help that Jesus can give, and yet they hesitate. Extremely difficult problems arise in marriages, and yet because of guilt feelings, neither spouse wants to approach Jesus directly in prayer, because I suppose they don't feel worthy. Or teenagers are frequently caught in a bind between what they know is right and what everyone else is doing. Again, these young people do not feel a closeness to their Savior. Consequently, these same youth hesitate to call upon the Savior's help. Oh, what a tragedy! The love and the help of Him who is in command of all things, who has authority over all things, His help is forfeited by doubts and indifference, or just the simple lack of faith. Older folks, members of retirement and rest homes, because they realize in their hearts that they have done so little for the Lord in their life, now feel it is too late. Oh, my friend, it is not too late. No matter what your problem or frustration is at this hour, now is your time. Behold, now is your day of salvation. Follow the example of the Roman centurion. Even though you, like he, may also feel unworthy, recognize, my friend, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and see His divine authority over sin and death. The centurion's example is our hope in life. It's all that we have. We have nothing else. All power on earth and in heaven belongs to Jesus. Jesus sincerely desires to help you, just as He, with compassion, sincerely desired to help the Roman military leader. And, of course, He will ask no questions. There is nothing, however, that the Lord cannot do. Also remember, however, knowing what is best for you, God in His divine wisdom and grace may not give you a Cadillac or an expensive home or a video or a boat or something else. But God does know even better than you do what is best for you and your family in your present situation. Trust your gracious Savior just as the centurion did, and you too will receive many blessings. Some people of Jesus' day sought Jesus only for miracles and for money. Today there are still some of those people around. They make the same mistake, but again, look at the centurion. His example in the Bible is for our learning, our hope, and our blessing. This man knew there was more to religion than just help in times of distress. Oh, this centurion loved God with a special love. God was the most important thing in his whole life. He built a house of worship. The Bible says that he paid for the entire building out of his own pocket. Let me ask you today, do you know of many persons today who built elaborate churches and pay for the entire complex with their own money? For you and me also, our religion must be more than fire extinguishers in times of crisis. Let our faith in Jesus be for us a daily blessing. True faith in Jesus Christ brings peace and hope. In the innocent blood of Jesus shed on Calvary's cross, we have redemption. That is, we are bought back by God to be His own. Our sins are cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ. God's Spirit heals the repentant heart A bruised reed he will never break. God's Spirit cleanses us. It heals us, and it gives us an eternal hope. Now just imagine that in spite of all of your sins and all of your mistakes and all of the many failures in your life, God, in His grace and His mercy, is offering to take you back, no questions asked. Oh, don't turn the other way. In the Bible we read that God delivered us from the domain of darkness, the prison of sin, and the temptations of the devil. And when we trust in the saving work of Jesus Christ, the Bible further explains that we are then transferred to the kingdom of God's beloved Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of all of our sins. Oh, indeed, the Roman commander is an example for all of us at this hour. In spite of all his earthly power and authority, he felt powerless when his most favored servant slipped toward the edge of the deep black pit of death. And quite likely, he forgot all else in life. His servant. Oh, his special servant. Oh, there had to be someone to save him. Have you never felt like this bewildered Roman soldier? One day you stood before the marriage altar, and with great joy and hope you said, "I do." Now, almost without explanation, your marriage has come apart. You are well-educated, you possess the power of modern technology, and yet regarding your marriage, you feel so hopeless. You are a teenager, perhaps. You used to dream about life. You could see yourself graduating from high school, and with a big smile on your face, you could see yourself walking across the platform. You planned on going to a college, or maybe a trade school, or getting a job. A nice car and a pleasant home were all part of your dreams. But now your parents' sinful divorce has blown your dreams completely apart. Like the Roman soldier, you feel so hopeless and so helpless. At times you may feel it might even be better not to live at all. And then to make matters even worse, perhaps friends have told you to try God and religion. But for you, God seems so far away. It just won't do much good, you think, to speak to God in prayer. Maybe you look successful, but in your heart you feel otherwise. Miserable, absolutely miserable. Could you possibly identify with the member of the Cleveland Public School Board who wrote in a final note, "I have enjoyed until now being your superintendent. As of this moment, it appears my last piece of dignity has now been stripped. The fighting among school board members and what petty politics is doing to the system has sickened me." And then the 58-year-old Harvard graduate took out a .357 revolver and he shot himself. This story is so terribly, terribly tragic. But it need not happen to you, and it need not happen to any one of us. God is a God of mercy. His strength to sustain you is available every hour. No problem is too great for Him to handle. No frustration of yours is too small for Him to consider. Through God's special gift of faith, let a connection between you and your loving Lord be established at this hour. Through this connection shall flow into your life and home help, strength, encouragement, and eternal hope. God is your strength. He is your connection. Jesus is the basis of all of your faith. Even in your times of greatest trial, with joy, sing with a hymn writer who wrote, "My heart for joy is springing, and can no more be sad. 'Tis full of mirth and singing, sees naught but sunshine glad. The sun that cheers my spirit is Jesus Christ my King. The heaven I shall inherit makes me rejoice and sing." Oh, may God grant this living hope to you this hour. In Jesus Christ, amen.